Hello everyone. Isn't it lovely to see the sunshine? I never experience the sunshine without remembering that every time there is that change from dull, wet, cold weather into the bright, warm sunshine, that never happens without us having an illustration given to us of what it'll be like when the Lord Jesus comes. Because as everybody and everything enjoys the sunshine and is so pleased to see it after the rain and the cold, so it will be when the Lord Jesus comes again. His saints will so rejoice. But the world also will rejoice. And as we have explained, there will be unconverted nations still upon the face of the earth during the millennial reign of Christ, but they will benefit from his reign, not least by the preaching of the gospel. But they'll find themselves in a world that is immeasurably better than the world that was before his coming again. Now, we have been looking at the physical changes that the return of Christ will bring to this earth, how the earth itself will benefit. The actual fabric and frame of this earth will benefit. In Romans 8, it speaks of it groaning. And the word there means death groans. But that will end. The earth, the fabric, the frame of the earth, will be at rest when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We discovered, too, that man will live longer. And we discovered that the earth will be more fertile and fruitful during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were considering the impact of the Savior's return upon the animal kingdom. And on Friday I was speaking on this very subject, the animal kingdom and the changes that would be made. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 11. I'd like us just to read those verses again before we move on. Just to conclude this particular little study on the changes in the animal kingdom, we'll move on to a couple of more verses just to reinforce the fact that this is what the Bible teaches. That when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, there'll be changes amongst the animals. Changes amongst the animals. Now, we were looking at Isaiah chapter 11 last time, the verses 4 to 9. Let's read them. But with righteousness shall he, that's of course the Lord Jesus, and he's reigning, he's judging, he's ruling. With righteousness shall he judge the poor. Righteousness. That is going to mark the reign of Christ, as righteousness does not mark the rule of men today. I can never come to these scriptures without something leaping into my head from events of today. Let me tell you something. There is a member of the House of Lords. He's called Lord Janner. Used to be a Labour MP. And years ago, he acted most wickedly against some children. And it was covered up. But now the children are adults, and they've gone to the police, and they have complained to the police of the wickedness of this man, who's now quite an elderly man. So what happens? Is he brought to court? Is he charged with his crimes? That's what would happen if righteousness governed the land. But I'll tell you what happens. The man immediately, through his legal advisers and his medical advisers, said, oh, I'm too frail and I'm mentally too sick to be brought to court. I'm suffering from dementia. Therefore, I can't be brought to court, for I wouldn't know what's going on in court, and I couldn't answer the charges because mentally I'm just not able. That's the plea. And the Director of Public Prosecutions accepted that and said, oh, we're just not going to do anything more, we're not charging this man. But now it's turned out, that that man was actively speaking in the House of Lords right up until the police inquiries began. Suddenly, he got dementia. 12 days ago. Now, the decision not to bring him to court was taken weeks and weeks and weeks ago. But only 12 days ago, he wrote to the House of Lords in answer to a question from them, Are you resigning? You haven't been in attendance since this police inquiry. Are you now resigning since you're not attending? And he wrote back, signed the letter, dementia and all, saying, oh no, I just want you to extend my sick leave so that I can continue to draw the money that I get as a member of the House of Lords. The whole thing just stinks of lies, deceit and corruption. Turns out too that the Director of Public Prosecutions received advice on the matter from a lawyer who works alongside and is a colleague of the son of Lord Janner. That's the way man runs his affairs. Rotten, corrupt, unrighteous, wicked. But here in Isaiah chapter 11 and the verse 4, we are told that when the Lord Jesus begins to reign, he will reign with righteousness. Hallelujah. There'll be no dodging and no false excuses made or accepted when the Lord Jesus reigns. He shall judge the poor and reprove with equity, uprightness, truth for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Phrase that's used by Paul to indicate what will happen the Antichrist when Jesus Christ comes again. Told you on Friday, and I tell you again, this little phrase tells us the time that we're talking about, the coming of Christ. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, the snake. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice, then another snake. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Full of the knowledge of the Lord. Out there, boys and girls, there's no knowledge of the Lord amongst the vast majority of people. They're not thinking about him. They didn't rise this morning and begin the day thinking about him. Their minds are not occupied with him. They have no knowledge of him. If you talk to them, they couldn't tell you who he is or anything about his glory and power. And that's why the earth is so wicked. But when the Lord Jesus comes again, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. A deep knowledge. And that revelation of the Lord, that knowledge of the Lord, will affect even the animals, as we have just read. They'll change their character and their nature, because the wildness of the animal is a result of man's sin. The animal wasn't like that when God created it in the garden. You remember, Adam gave the names to the animals. He walked amongst them, stroked the old lion, and the leopard, and the bear. They responded to him. And he gave them all their names. And it's going to be like that again. What a change the Lord Jesus Christ can make. And if you know him today, really know him, then that change will be seen in your life. Now, let's go on to another verse or two. This time it's in Ezekiel, the chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And I just want to give you some of these verses just to show you that this particular topic, the change in the animal kingdom that will come about when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, is something that's not isolated to just a verse or two, but it's something that is referred to on a number of occasions. Ezekiel, the chapter 34, look at the verse 23. God here is speaking of his plans for his people Israel. In the verse 22, he speaks about his flock. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them. Talking about a day when Israel once again is ruled and governed by God's appointed leader. Called here a shepherd. called here a shepherd. Now we know that that's the title that was given on many occasions to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the present time, Israel doesn't own the Savior, doesn't know him at all. Can't say, as David said long ago, the Lord is my shepherd. Israel can't say that. The nation can't say that. But there's a time coming when they will say that again. God says, I will set up one shepherd, verse 23, over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Here's another title. Whoever it is that God's speaking of here, he's going to set up over Israel, he's called a shepherd. He's also called my servant David. And that again is a title of the Lord Jesus. Can you remember anyone who applied that title to the Savior? I can't. I can remember a blind man sitting by the highway side and crying out, Jesus, thou son of David. He knew that the Lord Jesus was a David. That the David, the King of Israel in the Old Testament times, was a wonderful picture of the Messiah. And blind Bartimaeus recognized Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. And he gave him that title, Son of David. And here the Lord uses this same phrase, the same title, the same name, when speaking of the day when the Lord Jesus will rule and reign in the earth once again, and specifically and specially rule over Israel. Even my servant David, he shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I, the Lord, have said it, therefore it will be. There's no doubt about it. And neither there is, boys and girls. It doesn't matter who comes along and challenges what we say regarding these prophetic statements and what it is we find in the scriptures regarding God's dealing with Israel's in the future. It doesn't matter how men say, oh no, it'll never happen. It will happen. Because God says, I have said it, and it will happen. It will happen. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And I will make them, and the places round about my hill, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke. That means when I have set them free, when I have set them free. I've taken off the yoke from their shoulders that their enemies have put upon them and made them serve as slaves. I'm going to change that. I'll break the yoke from off. And when I do that, they shall know that I am the Lord. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Now, in those verses, boys and girls, we have God saying a lot of things about the changes that will come to pass upon the earth when the Savior, his shepherd, David, the king, as he's called, will rule and reign. The earth will give her increase, talks about the fruitfulness of the trees, talks about the beasts being altered and changed, people be able to lie out in the woods at night without the least fear. They'll be delivered from their enemies, and they'll enjoy peace. All of these things we have over the last weeks and months highlighted as among the benefits and the blessings that will come to the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. Let me just look at one more verse. It's in the book of Hosea, a couple of books on over from Ezekiel through the book of Daniel to Hosea. And we're looking at chapter 2. We're emphasizing, remember, the change that will be seen among the animals when the Lord Jesus comes again. And that reminds us that there will be a returning back to the conditions that prevailed somewhat in the Garden of Eden when the Lord Jesus comes again. You see, we love to sing, I certainly have loved to sing a little hymn that says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought." And every child of God who knows the saving influence of the Lord Jesus is brought out of a dark world of fear and trouble and misery and shame, into a world of joy and peace, contentment. That's what happens when the Lord Jesus becomes the Savior of a sinner. And to a much greater measure it will happen when the Lord Jesus takes over the rule of the world. Look at the verse 18 here of Hosea chapter 2. "And in that day," you remember that phrase, don't you? Told you that many times in the prophecies, you will see that phrase, "in that day." See, boys and girls, there's a special day coming. A day that God talks about again and again and again. Isn't it sad that God, having spoken of this day so many, many times, that men should neglect it and ignore it? And many Christians today haven't a notion about that day. They never study it, not often preached upon. And yet, God is forever talking about that day. Oh, I hope that there will be written on your heart, as a result of these times together in our assembly studies, there will be written an understanding that a very special, wonderful day is coming, and that you will search the scriptures to see what they tell you about that day. Verse 18, "And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground." That just about covers all the creatures, doesn't it? And God says, "I'm going to make a covenant with these creatures for my people, on behalf of my people. I'm going to see to it that these creatures, which in the past have been a danger, a threat, an annoyance, a vexation to men, I'm going to see to it that that is no longer the case. That's no longer the case. I will make a covenant on behalf of my people with these creatures." But he goes on, "And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth." No more war. Whole political debate going on at the moment about the cost that any future government in the United Kingdom will have to undertake for the running, the refurbishing of, I think it's 5 submarines. 5 submarines! It'll cost billions to keep these 5 submarines active. When I say 5 submarines active, in actual fact, only 2 of them are ever on patrol at a time. 2 others will be getting repairs done, and there'll be one sitting in standby. But it'll cost billions to keep those 5 tubs in existence. You probably could solve all the financial problems of the National Health Service with the amount of money that's been spent on these submarines. Now, why are they there? Because of the threat that comes from other nations, like Russia. You've got to be ready. And the animosity that exists between nations, the rivalry that exists between nations, costs us a fortune of money. It's like in your home. The fact that there are robbers near to you costs your mum and dad a lot of money. They probably have an alarm in the house. They probably have very special locks on the door. Which, if there were no robbers, you would need to spend money on. But you see, man's wickedness has to be looked out for, guarded against, and it costs money. But when Jesus comes, all that will change. Look at what he says. "I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth." No more war. That's what Isaiah chapter 2 says. No more war. No more war. And I will make them to lie down safely. Lie down safely. What a wonderful change, boys and girls, when Jesus comes again. What a wonderful change. I hope you have experienced something of that change as an individual. You have found the peace, the joy, the security, and the safety that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Take our thanks, Lord, for your word and for the blessed hope that is set before us. And please, write your word in the hearts of the children. May they never, never forget what it is God has said he will do when Jesus comes again. Amen.